Hello and welcome to The Good, The Bad and The Curious. I'm Dr. Alex Marsh and today I'm joined by
Dr. Alan Mullen
and Dr. Martin Barszewski.
And today we're going to be discussing, are people born earlier in the school year more successful? Now, there are a number of studies which suggest that children born earlier in the school year are more successful academically, and this effect is also observed in different sports. So the first thing we're going to talk a little bit about are the different studies that have been done on this and, you know, the types of data that are collected.
Yeah, well, I think it's definitely an interesting topic, because I think we've got about how do you conduct your research to analyze this kind of complex topic. Obviously, we can look at a range of different things. If we're talking about academic ability, we can see that's a fair easy one to understand. You can compare students and see what their grade levels are and apply some kind of scoring to that, and then we've got the cutoff point for where they're for each year. Different countries will have different cutoff points for whether you're in 1 year or the next. It could be over where we're from, it's June, July, that's a cutoff point. So in my case, I was July, so I would have been one of the oldest. So going by this topic, I should have had a lot more advantages than some of the people who were coming in that were June. But beyond that, it starts to get quite complicated, I think, just in terms of how you do these sort of studies. You've got all the different factors to bring in.
And you made an interesting point there about where the school year starts, because in England, it's September, so it's actually quite difficult to compare different studies from, say, the US or from England or even from Northern Ireland. And I don't know about even other countries when the school year may start. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at data from these kind of things, that's definitely an important thing to look at.
And I think, one point in all of this is which, I think it's quite important, what is how we measure success, right? Because you may look at the likes of GCSE results in the UK. You may look at some other measures of school attainment or success, but I would sometimes question if that's the right way of measuring this. Is a kid who has straight A's or whatever they are in the UK, but he or she is completely stressed by the process of obtaining these high grades, is that a good measure of success? Or is a child maybe from Finland, who doesn't have such strict measures, are they maybe more happy and maybe more fulfilled? So I think there are many, many points that may be, kind of biased one way or another, depending on the schooling system.
Just thinking as well about the effect of age, obviously the impact of, say, 10, 11 months is a big swing, especially at the younger age, but that should you would think that at some point that's going to have a less of an effect.
That is actually something that they talk about in quite a lot of these studies. It's called the relative age effect.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're 6 years old, if you're 6.9, say, that you have an advantage over someone who's 6.1, who would be younger than you in your school year, especially in things like sports, because you might be bigger or stronger and you can run faster just because you're slightly older. But these kind of things, obviously, the older you get, the smaller the relative age mm-hmm. impact is.
And then different people, regardless of this sort of like the cutoff points for classes, different people mature at different rates mm-hmm. as well. And that's, we can see there's quite different quite a broad range of people's rates of development, whether you're looking at simple things of people's growth or other factors. So there's so many things going on.
And I guess there are a lot of different factors that maybe you don't take into account in these studies, such as how big the class is, how much a child attends school, if the teachers are good, if the quality of teaching is good. And then you've got to look at things like you said about social development and emotional development as well as academic development.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we're at an interesting point in terms of science, because we can collect so much data now, but I guess you have to ask yourself, are we collecting the right data and are we measuring the right things, like you said, Marcin?
Yes, I think so. And I think that's exactly the challenge, that, you know, when you look at the various statistics of happiness, for example, of young people, you know, and then you see the results from, say, Korea and Singapore, where they excel at science attainment, you know, I mean, they are really top of the world, but then at the same time, they are some of the most unhappy children in the world. So I think that still goes back to the question of what is success, you know, how do we define it, you know, and I think Finland is one of these outliers, which is completely opposite. They have very relaxed approach to education. Kids start really late. I think they are seven or even, you know, seven plus when they start primary school. There is not much push for academic excellence in terms of getting, you know, straight A's at the end of it. And they are happy people, you know, with a happy, more equal society. So I think, you know, that's what I would personally strive for, to have a better society than, you know, top scoring kids who are very unhappy.
So it's like, so it's a success at, you know, at what cost, you know, that side of things. We haven't, suppose aside from the academic side of things, we haven't mentioned, the other side of things, which would be sporting ability and achievement, because I think there's a few studies done to do with that.
So there are quite a few studies out there. Like, the thing I would just note is quite a few studies that are out there are done on a very small size of a sample, so they might just consider a single class or even just students from a single school. So that's just something to bear in mind when you talk about the studies. But you're right, there are studies to do with hockey particularly. Actually, I think it's in Canada they did an ice hockey study, and they looked at, because just for the listeners, Alan's very into hockey, so he's a resident expert on hockey. But there are studies to suggest that the relative age effect plays a role in, you know, when you have coaching hockey teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly from coaching young children, we would see a big difference with the, you know, within the younger groups that would come in. But again, you know, it would be hard to attribute that to the actual age of them within that group, as opposed to their own normal sort of development that they would have.
So, is your hockey team that you coach, are they sorted by age or by school year?
Normally by school year, because that's more of the thing. Again, sort of tying into the getting on with other children and socialising, so there's that aspect of it as well.
So in terms of the sporting aspect, I know we were talking earlier about a ping pong, an example in table tennis.
Yeah, we can probably add the link into this for people to look at this in more detail. But there was a book, I think it was Bounce. It's about this table tennis champion. So that they were from England sounds surprising enough, but more surprising was that there was quite a large number of people within their street were also exceptionally good at table tennis. And in that book, they were looking at the success that they had and what it could be attributed to, and that was, you know, a set of events that needed to happen. It wasn't necessarily that this person was physically or mentally more suited to this. It was these things about simply being able to have a table tennis table, having an older brother to practice with, the other people in the street, all these things all came together to do with their success that they had.
Because I guess these are a range of environmental factors which help them become successful. Like, you're looking at socioeconomic background and, you know, like you said, like having an older brother and other people to practice with. That was really, really important in that example.
Yeah.
But I guess it comes back to what you said about being successful.
It does, and I think it also comes back to this question that has been always, you know, emerging at some point sooner or later, you know, is it nurture versus nature? Whether, you know, some of this, and to what extent some of these abilities are, you know, inherent to us because of the way our DNA is made, you know, and enables us to do certain things, or whether there are, and what are these factors externally, like our parents, our friends, our mentors, you know, our, you know, environment that surrounds us that can stimulate us towards that or other direction. So there are some interesting studies, some hypotheses. Some of them are quite controversial because they cut down to the likes of IQ. What measure is it? What does it measure? Does it tell us anything useful? Some people say it does because there is clear alignment of IQ scores with performance at the end. But that's not to say that this is the measure of success, because you may be a super intelligent person with no, who leads a miserable life. So, you know, I think they're extremely complex topics. And I think the science, like you said earlier, Alex, is just difficult because of so many confounding factors involved in that.
And I think it's difficult, for, again, from a scientific perspective, to measure success from anything other than an academic score. Because, like you said, how do you define success without putting a number to something?
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Again, even looking at the sporting examples, people that play team sports, people have... you know, okay, you could say what if they played at a national level or won Olympic medals, things like that. But you know, in the sports that you have so many different team sports, and people have different roles within these teams. You know, so there's just so many factors to that.
Well, I think this is all we've got time for. But this has been a really interesting discussion, and we've got some really great references to put up for you guys if you're interested in reading more about this topic. So thank you very much for listening, and I guess the question we've kind of ended up with how do we define success? I think that's actually quite a nice way to leave things.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Andor Technology Podcast. Andor is an Oxford Instruments business, specializing in the design and manufacture of market-leading imaging and spectroscopy solutions for the scientific research market. For more information on our products and services, please visit andor.com.